Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us live on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For those people that might be unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We host this radio show with Harshman Travel Radio every Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we have a lot of things to be able to talk about today as a result of this is, I guess, our first radio show more or less since the big hurricane had happened. So we are back. We're talking about some cool stuff over here. And Pam Harshman and I first met when she was a customer of ours on the home-based business side. And I really respected Pam a lot because she was always taking care of the people that she was working with. And she had a natural tendency of being that leader, but very thorough. You know, where does this go over here, Peter? How does this work over here? That kind of a thing. So when she decided to become a travel agent, it was natural for me to say, why don't we do a travel radio show on Building Fortunes Radio? I know you'll be just as thorough as you were before. And then she sprung on me, yeah, we could even do it with Ron. Now, I had not really had that much of an impression on Ron because he gave me nothing to be impressed about relative to, like, all he would do is like a butler. I'm like, Ron the butler? You want Ron the butler? Like, Ron's my husband, I said playfully. Ron would pick up the phone if I had called and said, I'd say, hi, is Pam there? And he's like, yeah. Hold on, let me go get her. That was it. I swear, I don't think he had a vocabulary any more than 10 words. So it was either, yep, hold on one second, I'll go get her. That was it. Not, you know, hello. It was usually like, hello, maybe you mentioned my name, I don't remember. But then he'd say, hold on, I'll go get her. Very nice, but a man of many words. I'm like, ooh, this is going to be a tough radio show because this guy don't talk too much. Holy cow, is I wrong. Holy cow, is I wrong. He said, no, the more we learned about Ron, the more I learned, you know, a clinical psychologist helping out a whole bunch of people, really smart guy. And I said, oh, my gosh, he's going to do the continuing education stuff. He's going to be really thorough. He's got a lot of integrity, very well established, successful before. This is going to be a good show. And it has been. So for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now, we've been doing Harshman Travel Radio, and we always do introductions first, and then we give you new stuff a little bit later on. And we start ladies first. So, Pam, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us again, Peter, especially since we missed it last week. It's always good to keep everybody abreast of what's going on, and it seems like it changes so fast anymore.
It does.
Anyway, a little bit about my background is I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher in law enforcement and quickly moved my way up to court administration, did that for several years up in the Pacific Northwest. Then Ron and I got together, and I moved down to Florida, so all the way across the country diagonally. And once here, I didn't want to start at the bottom of the ladder again, so I was looking for something that would allow me to work more independently, from home, ended up getting my realtor's license followed by my broker's license. Sold real estate here in Southern Florida for many, many years, and started getting burned out on that. So I ended up going and getting my life and health insurance license, sold Medicare supplements to the senior population, and absolutely loved it. Loved working with seniors, loved listening to the stories, all that good stuff. However, one day there was a friend of mine that kind of questioned me if I ever thought about being a travel agent. And Ron and I had been just talking about that not too much prior to that, that if we were going to do any travel, we needed to start doing it now. We were empty nesters, baby boomers at that point, and it was a good time before anybody's health started declining. So it kind of intrigued me becoming a travel agent, and the more I thought about it, the more excited I got. And then when I got home that late afternoon, I sat down with Ron and we talked about it, and it just seemed to fit right into where we were at that point in our life. And once we decided to do it, we jumped in feet first and got all the education and connections that we needed to get, have done a whole lot more traveling ourselves, and we're loving every minute of it.
Excellent. Great information. And now we'll go to Ron.
Yes, the man with a few words. You have certainly learned to regret that.
That's right.
An initial data that wasn't very thorough, but that's okay. Now you just can't shut me up. So, you know, I just keep going, and then I look at the clock. And
all
I
great
say,
stuff.
Yep,
you're
sure
making
up.
Up for it. You're making up
for it. Oh, more than making up for it. I mean, my goodness, we made up for it a year or two ago. We're still going. Anyhow, a little bit about my background, very different than Pam's. Spent many, many years as a licensed clinical psychologist and very involved in really both sides of the profession. Got heavily involved in the self-regulatory, legalistic aspect of being a psychologist, sat on the board of directors of the Canadian Psychological Association, represented Canada with the American Psychological Association, sat on several ethics boards, professional affairs committees, and did a lot in, as I say, the regulatory law aspect of the profession. At the same time, obviously got very heavily involved in the clinical side. When I first finished all the educational stuff, decided that it would be important to get as much experience as I could with a variety of clinical populations before I even thought about going into private practice. So ended up initially working for pretty much every one of the social service delivery systems. Worked in mental health, child care, learning disabilities, addictions, corrections, the whole nine yards. And after doing that for a good number of years, decided to go into private practice and very quickly gravitated towards working with young couples, doing a lot of sexual therapy, a lot of premarital therapy, a lot of work with kids with learning disabilities, and fortunately or unfortunately, working with that population meant that I very soon got into a number of situations where couples were going through divorce and having very non-profitable, non-nice custody disputes over children. And just by coincidence, I mean, it has nothing to do with me getting into that area, but up until then, both in Canada and in the United States, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that if you had a young couple going through divorce and there were young children involved and there was any dispute over custody, the courts would almost always grant custody to mommy and visitation to daddy. And around that time, we started seeing an awful lot of situations, a lot of cases, a lot of research that showed that not only was that not a good predisposition, but in many, many instances, it was a very bad and very destructive approach. So what happened, and it started in Canada, simply because in Canada, the Divorce Act is a piece of federal legislation. So all divorces in Canada go through the Supreme Court level in the various provinces, much more regulated, much more standardized, much more sophisticated process than here in the States. And the Canadian judiciary made the decision that going forward, any judge making a decision about child custody and access was supposed to make that decision based on the psychological best interests of the children involved. And in the States, they very quickly picked up the same philosophy, and it moved very quickly across the border. But in Canada, I ended up being one of the first psychologists invested in that whole arena and working in that arena, and ended up as a pioneer in the Supreme Court, being appointed by the judges to really act on behalf of the psychological best interests of the children, because very clearly those decisions, those feelings and directions were not in the purview of the judiciary. Judges and lawyers and court personnel do not have the knowledge, the experience, or even the interest in making those kinds of determinations. So what basically happened was there was a new subspecialty developed in the mental health professions where the court would look at a licensed mental health professional and appoint them to represent the psychological best interests of the children. We would be responsible for going out and doing a very thorough investigation, interviewing the children individually and together, interviewing and seeing the children with mommy, with daddy, interviewing the parents, obviously, as well as all of the corollary people involved, whether it be teachers, counselors, priests, ministers, rabbis, next-door neighbors, relatives, etc., and then coming into court and making recommendations with respect to both custody and access. And I ended up in several hundred court cases doing that. As a spinoff of that, I also was doing a lot of guest lecturing at the Faculty of Law, teaching law students all about the process, how to use expert witnesses, what to do, what not to do, and at the same time, doing a lot of workshops at psychological conferences, talking to other psychologists who were interested in getting involved in that field. And after doing that for several years in Canada, just by chance, I was visiting with some friends in South Florida, and they introduced me to a forensic psychiatrist who was doing a lot of criminal forensic work in the South Florida courts. He was extremely interested in what I was doing in Canada. Obviously, he said there was nothing like that in South Florida, and basically asked me to give up my practice in Canada and move down to South Florida, go into practice with him. He would obviously continue doing all the criminal forensic work, but he wanted me to introduce this whole civil forensic program into the South Florida courts. And it was a big challenge. I was very interested in doing that, very challenged to do that. Very happy to leave Western Canada, where the last winter I was there, we went 25 days in a row where the warmest it got was 20 below zero. So the opportunity to move to South Florida was very, very attractive. I did do that, ended up being the first mental health professional to ever be appointed by both the Dade and Broward County courts in South Florida to represent the psychological best interests of children in child custody cases. So it was a big challenge. I enjoyed doing that, did that for a number of years. After doing that for several years, another psychiatrist with whom I'd worked for many, many years when I was up in Canada had a training institute, a large international training institute based in Los Angeles, and he was training all mental health professionals, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, marriage and family counselors, addiction counselors, etc., in a particular approach to psychiatry. And he asked me to come out to California and basically take over as executive director of that institute and oversee all of the clinical training that was going on worldwide. So, again, a big challenge. I enjoyed doing that. I obviously took him up on that. Moved out to Southern California, was there for several years. I enjoyed doing what I was doing. I hated living in Southern Southern California. So after a number of years, moved back to Florida and got involved for a short period of time in the managed mental health arena. Got very angry very quickly because I saw that what was happening there was the insurance companies were primarily interested in managing money, not managing care. And as a result of that anger and frustration, I ended up working with the Florida Department of Insurance for a number of years, putting together brand new legislation that would regulate the entire mental health, managed mental health care field in Florida. Again, a lot of challenge, but a lot of reward in doing that. After doing that for a while, PM and I got together. We decided to semi-retire. We moved to southwest Florida from southeast Florida and started raising alpacas. As you mentioned, Peter, Pam got involved in the MLM, home-based business arena. And although I was not interested in that, I certainly supported her in doing it. Even to the point of answering the phone every week for a guy named Peter saying, hold on a sec, right here. But we really enjoyed our time there and raising the alpacas. One day Pam came home and said, we have to talk. And I said, okay. And basically she really got excited and wanted to talk about the prospect of becoming legitimate, regulated travel agents. And as she said, we had been talking just before then about the fact that if we wanted to travel, which we obviously did, we better start doing it because at that point we had the time and the health and everything and we were able to do it, but we had not started traveling. So we did a lot of research, got involved looking at the pros and the cons, realized that if we were going to do it, the right way, get fully licensed and regulated and all that kind of stuff, take all the training, realized quickly that in the travel industry, just like every other industry, there are the good, the bad, the not so good, and we determined that if we were going to do this, one of the first things we were going to have to do, and you know, after getting all the training and licensing and all that jazz, was to really find those providers with whom we could connect and with whom we felt comfortable promoting and advertising and holding out for clients. And obviously there were those providers that we felt very good about. There are a number of providers that we will not deal with. But all in all, as Pam said, we've done a lot more traveling than we would have had we not become travel agents. We really enjoy the travel industry. And we enjoy not only doing the travel ourselves, but really being able to help a lot of other people make the most out of their travel time and their travel money. And with that, I realize again, I have gone blah, 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 up, so I will shut up.
Good stuff. All good stuff. On that note, we're going to take a little commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Pam and Ron Harshman on Harshman Travel Radio. Here we go.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we are back. Make sure you go to harshmantravel.com, sign up for the newsletter, and just as a friendly reminder, I haven't said it yet, but it doesn't cost you any more money to use Harshman Travel. So if you're looking for something, you want great service, better prices, learn about the stuff that you probably didn't know, make sure you check them out because, again, it doesn't cost you any more money. So, Ron, over to you.
Thank you, Peter. Lots been going on. I think people in Florida and the entire East Coast actually spent the last week being concerned about the major Hurricane Dorian. We were very fortunate throughout Florida. There were certain parts of Florida that got hit a little bit, but nothing major. And it really turned and went up the coast. But there were parts of the Bahamas that were really badly hit, and a lot of lives lost, a lot of property damaged, et cetera. And one of the things, once again, that just impressed me so much was as soon as we heard that, you know, there were all these watches and concerns about what the hurricane was going to do and where it was going to go, the immediate response from the travel industry, particularly the cruise lines, was they were changing itineraries, staying very connected with the U.S. Coast Guard, knowing exactly where the winds were, exactly where the tropical depressions were, etc., and changing their itineraries, canceling certain ships, itineraries, keeping certain boats out in the water and delaying their docking, changing where they were heading if it meant going to a port of call that was closed, and really just immediate response in terms of taking care of customers, not only those that were on board and had plans to go on board, but immediately coming out with plans of how to help people make alternative choices, whether it meant changing their itineraries and still going ahead with the cruise, whether it meant canceling the cruise, going on a different cruise later on and getting their money back and getting discounts on future cruises, etc. But it was all put together very, very quickly, very, very professionally, and it was just very, very impressive as far as I'm concerned. The second response after the damage was done in the Bahamas, and it just floored me because it was almost like the cruise lines were in a race to see who was going to get their commitment for money and for assistance out into the news quicker. And you saw every one of the cruise lines, whether it was Disney, Carnival, Norwegian, Royal Caribbean, every one of them, MSC, every one of them contributed a minimum of $1 million to repairing the Bahamas. A couple of the cruise lines, Royal Caribbean and Norwegian, immediately sent boats full of supplies to the Bahamas, where they would dock and obviously deliver the supplies, but at the same time stay there and provide housing for the people that were going there to help with all the restorations and things. And it was just, to me, very, very rewarding to see how they all came together and did that. And that was immediate. That wasn't, you know, a week later or after they thought about it or after they realized that, you know, it would be good PR to do something. This was an immediate response. And as I said, it was an immediate response from each and every one of the cruise lines operating in the Caribbean. Carnival Cruise Line came out with a news release just a day or so. No, actually it's today. I thought it was yesterday. Actually today came out with a news release from their investor relations department saying that they have resumed regular sailings to the Bahamas. They are looking at over 250 sailings to the Bahamas through the end of 2019. And that's through the three main Carnival lines that go there, Carnival, Princess, and Holland America. And Costa is also continuing with their trip to or through the Caribbean. So just very, very positive to see how these companies function and care about not only their customers, but all of the people in, you know, contact with their customers, all of the people who are working at the different ports of call, all of the people who are basically very dependent upon cruise line business. And it's just automatic and immediately. So that was something that I got very, very impressed with. other things that came out this week that I kind of chuckled about a little bit, nothing to do with the hurricane, but there's a rumor floating around that in order to conserve fuel, airlines are considering weighing customers. And I'm sure that's not going to be well thought of by many. But they say that depending on gender, males counted as 189 pounds, females as 154, children 77. They have done research that at those weights, the airlines have the best fuel consumption. So just like the airlines have charged more for overweight baggage, it's not definite yet, but it looks like we may be able to expect that those on the chubbier side may end up paying a little bit higher prices for their tickets going on air travel. And I'm not sure my response to that, but it's interesting. So that's something that that came out. The back to the Bahamas, the thing was that not only did all the cruise lines respond very appropriately and very positively, but even the way that the Bahamian government responded and immediately put their efforts towards the Abacos and the Grand Bahama, which were the two areas primarily hit. And it's a toss-up at this point in terms of how long is it going to be between or before those sites are really back up and fully functional. The positive side for travelers is that most of the travel to the Bahamas is not in that particular area. So Nassau and even the Grand Bahamas area is still going to be open for travel. And as I say, the cruise lines are all committed to helping rebuild and getting things going there as quickly and as productively as possible. Other than that, there are a number of other things going on in the travel industry right now that are kind of up in the air and waiting to get some more feedback on things that are happening. We have a number of brand new ships that are going to be christened within the next few months before the end of the year. And as I have said before, these new ships bring about new itineraries, new ports of call. So we're really seeing some major, major activity. A number of the cruise lines right now are really competing with each other to see who can outdo who in terms of money-saving offers that are being made and packages that are being offered. One of the cruise lines, for example, Norwegian, which is one of Pam and my favorites, has started a new group program where you can actually have a group put together with as little as five cabins. And if you have five cabins for nine passengers, in other words, before those five cabins are full, the 10th person sails for free. They've increased their free at sea program that allows people, depending on the type of stateroom that they get, to have free drinking package, free specialty dining, free Wi-Fi, free ground excursions, and they've even continued their free or reduced air program. And one of the things that just came out that they've added now is that for people who do not take advantage of the air, in other words, people who are going out of Miami or Fort Lauderdale or Port Canaveral, who are Floridians, they don't need to fly to the, to the port. For those people, they are getting an additional amount of money to go towards their land excursions. So they're really putting together very well thought out and very, very attractive packages. And I think that for any of our listeners who are even contemplating a short trip, a longer trip, a major event trip or whatever, it really does pay to get in touch with us and talk with us about your plans, about your dates, about your destinations, etc., and let us see what the best package is that we can put together, because they are there and available. And as you said, Peter, it does not cost anybody any more money to use a certified travel advisor. And by using an advisor, you automatically get the opening for money-saving room, money-saving packages that are just not available for the general public and not available for people who book for themselves online. And as usual, I have gone over. So I will show
you. Hope you're doing great. Great information, and this is the stuff that you wouldn't hear anywhere else, so thanks for being here. You give us the special treatment that our customers truly deserve, and that's why if you want, you call harshmantravel.com, go to harshmantravel.com. You can watch the photo gallery, you'd join the newsletter, talk to Pam and Ron, listen to the previous shows as well, and learn about the different things. So Ron has gone over everything from the do's and don'ts to fun stuff like, you know, the 10 dopey things that people do on cruises, to the stuff that you really need to know, and it's just great. And the best thing is that when you really need to be able to speak to somebody, they'll be available. So I know when I've had challenges before with travel, if I had booked a flight previously from my previous life as when I was traveling around the Midwest, I could never get a travel agent on the line. They would be like, oh my gosh, in today's world of booking things online, you never get the same person twice, no personalized service. But when I've used Pam, and hey, Pam, making a phone call from somewhere I'm not supposed to be making a phone call from, can you help me get out of here quick? She was able to do that. So for those people, I was actually in a courthouse, not supposed to be using my cell phone in the basement, and the people that were supposed to fly me out were flying me out like later, and I'm like, please help me. So I was able to call Pam, give her my distress signal. She gave me some options. The rest was history, and boy, did that make a very big difference in a lot of things. So having said that, make sure you check out harshmantravel.com, harshmantravel.com. And thanks for all the great things that you do, Ron. I know you do a lot of research in preparation to this radio show. Thanks for Pam, all the stuff that you do, and we're going to catch you next week. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
Have a good week, everybody.
You're welcome. Bye. Thank you.
Hi.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.